I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And Jesus saw that he answered wisely. He said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any question." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate that reading. Have you ever had a child around you who constantly was asking questions? How did you feel when the questions felt endless? Did you chastise the child or allow the questions to run their course? It's an interesting thing when someone's around you that keeps wanting to ask questions. During Jesus' time, many came to ask him questions. Some were quite easy to answer. That is, it took a simple explanation. Others were more difficult, so Jesus used a parable to explain. And this scripture, Jesus just puts it out there. No parable needed. And oddly, the scribe accepted Jesus' answer. And Jesus accepted his. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Did you notice anything missing, though? From all the other scriptures you ever read in the Gospels, what have you noticed that's missing? I mean, seriously, this is one of the very few times in the Gospels that we read of Jesus having a confrontation with a scribe or a Pharisee or Sadducee that we don't get a follow-up on the confrontation. Why is that? You know, normally they'll say, well, and then the disciples came and said, "Lord, why did you say that?" Or maybe one of the other scribes or Pharisees will say, "Well, basically, can you elaborate on that?" Let us look at possibilities with this scribe. Perhaps we don't have a follow-up, that is, any comments about the scribe afterward, because the writer felt like it was just assumed that the scribe was deceitful and went back to report to the Pharisees. And if this is the case, the scribe must have been quite successful in deceiving Jesus. Otherwise, there would be follow-up that had the scribe's deceit getting him caught by Jesus. You know, it's like Thomas Edison, for example, when he was concerned about the way visitors to his office helped themselves to his expensive Havana cigars. Since he wouldn't lock them up, his secretary suggested he have cigars made from cabbage leaves and substitute them for the Havanas. Edison agreed, then forgot about it, and only remembered later when the Havana started missing again. When he asked his secretary why the bogus cigars hadn't arrived, she told him they had arrived and had been given to his manager, who, not knowing they were fakes, had packed them for Edison to take on a trip. And do you know, Edison laughed, "I smoked every one of those cigars myself." Sometimes we just trick ourselves, and we think we're tricking someone else, and maybe that's what the scribe was doing. You know, I'm going to try to trick him, and then walked away saying, "Well, that didn't work." Now, we know there were those who tried to trick Jesus only to find they were not that clever and were discovered in their deceit, and Jesus shut them down. He shut them up with wisdom. So chances are such is not the case, since we don't have any follow-up on this one. So what are other possible reasons that we are not hearing more about this scribe? Perhaps the scribe went off to brag to the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees that he had tricked Jesus into giving him a wrong answer to the question. I mean, after all, there were no witnesses, right? Nobody that could go back and say that the scribe was not being honest. And if there's no witnesses to a conversation, it'd be he said, she said. His word might be taken at face value. Have you ever taken credit for something you didn't actually do? Many do this every day. I've had people misrepresent themselves on resumes, and when caught, they say, oh, I didn't realize I put that on there. I even had one tell me, that's how you get jobs that you're not qualified for. You lie. These are showstoppers. Personally and professionally, showstoppers. Some of you may remember Bob Harris. Bob Harris was a weatherman for New York television station, WPIX-TV, and the nationally syndicated independent network news had to weather a public storm of his own making in 1979. Though he had studied math, physics, and geology at three colleges, he left school without a degree, but with a strong desire to be a media weatherman. He phoned WCBS-TV introducing himself as a PhD in geophysics from Columbia University. The phony degree got him in the door. After a two-month tryout, he was hired as an off-camera forecaster for WCBS. For the next decade, his career flourished. He became widely known as Dr. Bob. He was also hired by the New York Times as a consulting meteorologist. The same year, both the Long Island Railroad and then baseball commissioner Bowie Kuhn hired him. 40 years of age and living his childhood dream, he found himself in public disgrace and national humiliation when an anonymous letter prompted WCBS management to investigate his academic credentials. Both the station and the New York Times fired him. His story got attention across the land. He was on the Today Show, the Tomorrow Show, and in People Weekly, among others. He thought he'd lose his home and never work in the media again. Several days later, the Long Island Railroad and Bowie Kuhn announced they would not fire him. Then WNEW-TV gave him a job. He admits it was a dreadful mistake on his part and doubtless played a role in his divorce. I took a shortcut that turned out to be the long way around, and one day the bill came due. I will be sorry as long as I am alive. It was a real showstopper for those who hired Bob Harris and believed the lies that he told. This showstopper not only cost him his work, but his marriage. But even worse was what happened to Bob Harris. Worse than what happened to Bob Harris is a scribe that might come and try to deceive Jesus. But we don't hear that in this scripture. Jesus was all about showstoppers. He knew how to shut down the competition and leave them speechless. Remember when he raised Lazarus? Or how about the little girl who was reported dead and he said, "Arise, little girl." And she did. Not only physically, but verbally, Jesus was the best at showstoppers. Have you ever delivered a showstopper or been the victim of one? Oftentimes, we are dealt blows in life that could be real showstoppers. Ultimately, it is our decision as to whether or not it will be. Just like with Bob Harris. That is, we may choose to let something stop us from living life to its fullest, or we may choose to press on. H.G. Spafford was a businessman in Chicago. He was a dedicated Christian. There were times in his life when the wisdom he followed was earthly, unspiritual, and subject to the enemy's schemes. He had some serious financial reversals, and during the time of readjustment, he lost his home. He realized his family needed to get away for a vacation. Spafford decided to take his entire family to England. He sent his wife and four daughters ahead. In mid-ocean, the French steamer carrying his loved ones collided with another. and sank within 12 minutes. 230 people lost their lives. The four daughters were drowned. But Mrs. Spafford was rescued. She wired her husband, saved alone. Mr. Spafford was, understandably, almost overcome with grief. He had lost his property, his four precious daughters were buried beneath the dark waves of the sea, and his wife was in grieving on the other side of the world. Spafford could have relied on earthly wisdom and turned his grief into bitterness. He could have tried to get his pound of flesh from the French steamer company by filing lawsuits. He could have justified in his own mind being angry with God and the world and shaken his fist at the one who allowed his earthly life to seemingly be destroyed. Instead, he put all his trust in God and wrote a song that has comforted thousands since that time. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let's go back to the scribe in our scripture reading. Remember the question I asked? Why is follow-up missing? Again, this is one of the very few times in the Gospels that we read of Jesus having a confrontation with a scribe, Pharisee, or Sadducee that we don't get follow-up on the confrontation. Why is that? I think it's this. Because the scribe had his hunger for truth, his thirst for spiritual knowledge satisfied. And that is a rare thing from a scribe in Jesus' time. It is a rare thing that one of them would be open to the teaching of Jesus and accepting of what Jesus had to offer. Oftentimes we find ourselves with these saints that we celebrate who gave us words of wisdom and we didn't listen. We felt like we knew more than them. They had nothing to offer. A number of years ago, there was a newspaper account of a speech given by the president of a well-known university to a group of influential businessmen and civic leaders. The president told of a recent experience that he, his audience, and the newspaper reporter found humorous. The president was shopping during the Christmas season and happened to pass by a Salvation Army volunteer standing by a donation kettle and ringing a bell. As he paused to make a donation, the woman volunteer asked this educator, "Sir, do you know Jesus?" When he replied that he supposed he did, she was not satisfied. So she pursued the matter further. "I mean, have you ever given your full attention to the Lord?" At this point, the president told his audience he thought he should enlighten this persistent woman concerning his identity. "I am the president of a university, and as such, I am also president of its school of theology." The lady considered his response for a moment and then replied, "It doesn't matter whoever you are or whatever you are. You can still take time to know the Lord." See, the scribe took the time to know the Lord, which many of them didn't. They were busy persecuting him and hating him and resisting him, and they would listen to him speak, and then they would confront him and tell him how they thought he was wrong or that he shouldn't even be speaking. But this scribe came, and he wanted knowledge. He wanted spiritual guidance. And when Jesus answered, he said, "That's it." It wasn't this mindset of, "I got to do a showstopper here. I got to make sure that I get him." It wasn't a get you attitude. He said, "Thank you." And he went his way. They accepted each other's answers. The scribe had come to know Jesus. He was satisfied with the divinity of Jesus. When we know the Lord, his love is a showstopper. Doesn't matter whoever we are or whatever we are in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a showstopper. When we come up and Jesus gives an answer, notice in our scripture it says, "And no one dared ask him a question after that, because it was pretty clear who he was and what he had done. So for us this day, as we celebrate these saints, I ask you to please look around you. It could be in the pew next to you. It could be outside these doors. It could be in the workplace. But there are people who can impart wisdom. There are people who are true followers of the Lord that we can all learn from. And we don't want to figure that out after they're gone. How many times have we lost a loved one only to say, oh, I wish I had have asked them this or that, or I wish I had have listened when they told me. We live in the present. The scribe lived in the present, and the scribe got the right answer, and we have the right answer right in front of us. The Lord Jesus Christ is in our world and with us. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know that oftentimes we're so self-righteous, so all-knowing, that we don't always hear what you would have to say to us. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds that we may listen to you, that we may be guided by your wisdom, and that we may walk away saying, thank you for all that you have given me, for it is a blessing to be in your sight and to be walking this pilgrimage with you. Be with us and guide us. Be with all of our saints, for we ask this in your holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.